joining us from Israel for the Israel Report. Rolene Marks, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Oi, I tell you, maybe I need to come on a little later or earlier, because every Friday morning I'm moved to tears by what Dr. Marburg has to say. But you know what? It doesn't surprise me, the generosity of the community, because it is simply an extraordinary, extraordinary community in Johannesburg. So kola kavod, everyone. You really are something special.
Thanks, Rolene. Right, let's take a look at some of the news coming out of Israel. Honduras has opened its embassy in Jerusalem. That's good news, or it's going to be opening its embassy there.
It is open.
Oh,
Honduras
wow.
Officially becomes the fourth country to open their embassy in the capital, Jerusalem. Yesterday, the president of that country, Juan Orlando Hernandez, was in the country to open it. He met with President Rivlin and then met and opened the embassy with Foreign Minister Yair Lapid and, of course, Prime Minister Naftali Bennett. Also quite moving was hearing the Prime Minister say Shehechianu as he opened the embassy. We haven't had that
before. That's wonderful,
So quite a moment there, and the Honduran president stressing that, you know, this will open up and strengthen the ties between the two countries. And he's there in Israel, very proud to be back in Israel, for support, solidarity, and for opportunity. And later in the day, the president and our Prime Minister Bennett signed the first memorandum understanding in cooperation with water, with agriculture, and with various other areas. So really, really a wonderful moment to see happening in Jerusalem.
A little bit further outside Jerusalem is, of course, the tragedy that's unfolding in Miami at the moment, or near Miami. Israel is sending a United Hatzolah to help in Surfside. Give us the context here. What is the latest? What happened? Do we know what is going on?
Well, I think all of us are absolutely devastated by what we are seeing. And as I said yesterday, it's quite personal for many of us, because for me, we have a large contingent of WITSO women, WITSO families in Miami. You and I have been speaking. We know people who are personally attached to this tragedy. And it has been also extraordinary to see the community there rally around. I know Cadena has opened up their offices. I know WITSO Miami are working round the clock. The extraordinary Chabad of Bell Harbor, you and I know the mayor, Gabe, extraordinary man, very, very personal connection to that particular apartment building, search and rescue on site from Miami-Dade. But also now Israel dispatching within minutes our United Hatzolah, who are experts in psychotrauma and crisis response. They contacted El Al. El Al are fully sponsoring them to go straight to Surfside to help with families, neighbors who were injured, killed, assist in finding the missing. So far, we only know one person confirmed killed, but over 90 remain missing. Horrific, horrific visuals coming in from Surfside. However, the cause of this is not clear. There's some conjecture that, you know, they were warned that that land is sinking, and some saying that that wasn't adhered to, or no, nobody paid attention to that. Others saying that there was a lot of construction happening in the neighboring building, a lot of cranes, trucks in and out, and maybe that upset the foundations. Of course, unfortunately, a lot of us thinking that it could be something else, given the climate that we are living in globally, especially for a community that is so intensely Jewish, majority Jewish, you know, of course, that has not been indicated as any cause of this tragedy. But at the end of the day, whatever the cause, it is a massive, massive tragedy.
Yeah, it's interesting, because I saw a quote from Eliana Salzhauer, who is the Surfside Town Commissioner. And her comment, she told USA Today this was not a natural disaster. Buildings don't just fall down. This was not an act of God. So very, very scary comment that.
Well, absolutely. You know, just looking at the footage, you can, and how specific it was to this particular building, you know, one does wonder what actually happened, but just absolutely tragic all the way around.
Indeed. Taking a look, going a little bit back closer to Israel or in Israel, does Abbas regret not taking the 2008 offer for peace?
Well, this is a fascinating story. This is coming from the former Prime Minister Ehud Olmert. He was speaking yesterday, and he was on a Zoom with Australia. And according to him, he says that apparently Mahmoud Abbas was very privately in favor of the peace deal that was offered in 2008. In fact, Olmert says it was obviously he was entirely for it, and Olmert was part of the negotiation team that was done under the guidance or under the auspices or authority of the Americans. And he goes on to say, he says, I think that when somebody talks to him privately, eye to eye, behind closed doors, he will say that he regrets he didn't sign, which I find quite fascinating here. And he says he understands that it could have been a great change in the lives of Palestinians. But, you know, this is not he says that, but we also can't forget that in later years, in 2015, Abbas says that he rejected the offer from Olmert. He says, you know, he gave all kinds of excuses. He said he didn't agree. He rejected it out of hand. He wasn't there to examine the maps. And Olmert said, you know, in this particular deal, he offered near total withdrawal from the land, that Israel would retain about 6.3% of the territory, which would include the major Jewish settlements. Jerusalem would come under international control. He offered land compensation to the Palestinians, and Israeli land, a land swap, you know, the famous land swap that we talk about, which was about 5.8% of the West Bank, a link to the Gaza Strip, so it would be contiguous. And Abbas says no, he rejected that. He didn't see the map. So, you know, you don't know what to believe in the story, but really, really quite fascinating.
It really is. But there's also been a lot of unrest going on in Ramallah, is it? What is the story there? Because somehow the South African media definitely is not covering this one. All the activists for the Palestinian causes don't seem to care too much about the story, but I think it's a significant one.
It's hugely significant, but isn't it fascinating how the South African media, other global media that, you know, were very, very, very hot to jump immediately on Israel with regards to many issues, including the very complicated Sheikh Jarrah, the celebrities with their, you know, their blue tick social justice credentials, John Oliver, Trevor Noah, the Hadid sisters, all these wonderful human rights organizations, Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, and, you know, they're very, very quick to publish all kinds of reports, Howard. But, you know, they've been eerily silent on this. And this is the fact that Nizar Bahat, a Palestinian, he's an activist, long critical of the Palestinian Authority and Mahmoud Abbas. In fact, in recent weeks, he appealed to the EU, the European Union, to withdraw their funding to the Palestinian Authority, citing amongst many things corruption and you know, incitement, all kinds of things, Howard. You know, those things that we've been talking about for many, many, many years. Well, yesterday, in mysterious circumstances, Palestinian Authority security forces went to arrest him, and he happened to pass away during this. The circumstance is very, very unclear, but to me, it looks a bit suspicious. I mean, I don't know, maybe it's just me. And coupled with that is we've had a crackdown from the Palestinian Authority on anyone who is being vaguely critical of Abbas and the PA on social media, including a 16-year-old Palestinian youth who was arrested for posting on Facebook. I don't know, it just seems a bit dodgy to me.
I actually was thinking about it this morning. What I want to do from next week is create a list during the course of the week, stories that didn't bother us. Because if you look at social media, there's certain stories that outrage us and get us really going, but people killed in Tigray at a market, not so much. When the Palestinian Authority allegedly kills somebody who's critical of them, and thousands of people march and get brutalized during the protests, nobody really seems to be bothered by things like that. So I'm actually going to be starting a list next week of stories, and maybe publish it every Friday, or just put out the list every Friday, stories that just didn't bother us.
I think we need to do that, and we need to send it to these human rights organizations and these celebrities, you know, these virtue signalers with a big sign that says hypocrisy watch.
Absolutely. I think we need to do just that. Ending on a great and wonderful note is the Pride March in Tel Aviv today. So my son lives in Tel Aviv. He is not gay, but he says this is the most festive, wonderful day of the year in Tel Aviv. Apparently it's just a riot in a good way.
The party of the year. So if you're anywhere near Tel Aviv and or you want to go into Tel Aviv, I suggest you go early because parking's a problem, Howard. It is Pride. Pride will be happening today. It had been suspended last year because of the global pandemic. But Tel Aviv, which is very proudly a very open city, probably one of the most LGBTQ-friendly cities in the world. The rainbow flags have been out for the month of June because it's Pride Month. There's been a campaign around the city advocating acceptance and tolerance. And it's really just extraordinary to be in Tel Aviv for Pride. And it's not just members of the LGBTQ community that participate. People from all walks of life, everybody's out to support their fellow citizens' right to their human rights. It's very, 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 very festive. The coffee shops, the restaurants are beaming from ear to ear, as are the sunblock vendors, because, you know,
What is the weather like today?
It is hot. Mm-hmm. It is summer is here with a vengeance. People are out. Yes, we have had a slight increase in the amount of COVID infections.
Yeah, I was going to just ask you that as well. Is that going to impact?
We have had to close our borders as a precaution. These infections are largely or mostly or basically all due to people coming from abroad, maybe with children who haven't been vaccinated and bringing the Delta variant into Israel. So we're not taking any chances at the moment. We may have to go back to indoor mask mandate from next week, but unfortunately, we have made the decision to delay that opening of our borders to vaccinated individuals until August. We really, really want to make sure we take all precautions. The town of Binyamina has been designated a red area. They are under major restrictions. We had some students here in Modi End testing positive during the week. Some have recovered already, thank goodness, but we really don't want to see another flare-up. But it doesn't seem to be stopping Pride. Pride is scheduled to go ahead as planned today. So if you're in the Tel Aviv area, hey, it's going to be a day filled with parties.